This is Dancing with Shiva, Sloka 151, which struck me as containing a lot about Nada Sampradaya. So in your mind, think about Nada Sampradaya. What does it encompass? And if I run into a point that you wouldn't have mentioned, make note of that. Nada means Lord or adept, and Sampradaya refers to a living theological tradition. The roots of this venerable heritage stretch back beyond recorded history when awakened Nada mystics worshiped the Lord of Lords, Shiva, and in yogic contemplation experienced their identity in him. The Nada Sampradaya has revealed the search for the innermost divine self, balanced by temple worship, fueled by Kundalini Yoga, charted by monistic theism, illumined by a potent Guru-Shishya system, guided by soul-stirring scriptures, and awakened by sadhana and tapas. Thus has it given mankind the mechanics for moving forward in evolution. Isn't that a good list? A lot in there. We have the search for the innermost divine self. Of course, we're all have that in our mind. The only point there to remember is make sure you don't put it in the future tense. Put it in the present. I was reading something this morning and by a Saivite scholar, and he was putting it in the future. He was saying, Aham Brahmasmi, you are becoming Brahman. He's putting it in the future. Instead of you are Brahman. Gurudeva has a nice way of clarifying that. That we have a soul nature, the soul body, and then we have the essence of the soul. The essence of the soul is in Sanskrit terms, Parashiva and Parashakti, or the transcendent absolute and the eminent all-pervading consciousness. When we think of ourselves, we tend to think of ourselves as a soul body. Said another way, when we think of our soul nature, not that we do that all day, when we think of our soul nature, we tend to think of the part of the soul, which is the soul body. Did I get it across second time? The part that's changing, the part that's maturing, the part that's evolving, the part that's becoming more like Shiva because of our sadhana and tapas. The soul body is in a state of becoming like Shiva. Our soul body is becoming more like Shiva's soul body through the practice of sadhana and tapas. The analogy I use is the light switch. If you move it up, it gets brighter. The lights get brighter. You move it down, the lights get dimmer. Variable light switch. So Shiva has one, and his is all the way at the top. We have one in ours. If we're doing our sadhana and tapas, it's moving up very slowly. But we're getting brighter. We're in the state of becoming more like Shiva. Our soul body is getting brighter. Shiva is 100%. We're getting brighter through sadhana and tapas. So that's the state of becoming. The being, we're already identical with Shiva in the essence of the soul. The absolute, we're already the absolute. We're already omnipresent consciousness. We just can't see that part of ourself. It's omnipresent consciousness, but it's there. It's hidden. But it's there, so we don't have to do anything for that to be true. Well, the soul body is becoming like Shiva, but the essence of the soul is identical with Shiva at all times. That's an important distinction. Balance by temple worship. We know that one. That's our monistic theism, theistic monism. Most traditions are either one or the other. As I pointed out, they're either theistic, which is Vaishnava, monistic, which is most Vedantins, and we're both. I remember coming from some events in Southern California. We had spent probably 2 days participating in the ceremonies at the opening of the BAPS Swaminarayan Temple in Chino Hills, which is part of Los Angeles area. Very interesting temple because they had to build it to be earthquake-proof. So it sits on springs. The top of it sits on springs, which is above the bottom. So you have the bottom, you have springs, and then the top, so it'll move. Nothing will crack. They're theistic, they're dualistic, they're Vaishnava. And we spent 2 days worshiping. Then we went over to a satsang, and then one of the leaders of the Chinmaya mission was there, who was very close to the Viswanathan family. I was talking about Vedanta and making the point that wouldn't it be nice to have all of this in one place, the theism and the monism and all, and of course we have it in one place right here. It's the only place I know of, though, that combines both and looks at both as equally important. Fueled by Kundalini Yoga. So Kundalini Yoga in our tradition isn't something you try and stimulate by some kind of fast breathing technique or try and stimulate by going to a weekend seminar or something like that. That can actually work, and Kundalini can rise prematurely and cause grief. You don't want it to rise too soon. It's a very powerful force, but rises prematurely, it usually goes up the wrong channel. You have three choices, either Pingala and Sushumna. So you want it to go up to Sushumna, you want to go up to center. But Siddha Yoga Dham used to be the most notorious for causing people that would shake. They sit to meditate and they couldn't sit still. Part of them would be shaking because the Kundalini had been stimulated prematurely and wasn't going up the right channel. A Kundalini is a slow awakening, but it's a powerful force. And just our simple meditation technique, preparation for meditation, stimulates it slightly in everyone. If you follow it all, it's stimulated slightly just by that, which is enough. Then it gets stronger later on by when you're ready for it. Charge it by monistic theism. Or charge is very important. We had a retreat in Malaysia in something jungle. What's it called? Layanga jungle something? The place above the Muslim college. Yes, we had a retreat there, and there was lots of hiking trails. And one morning, most of the group went off hiking to a waterfall. So they studied the map, and they went off hiking and found the waterfall and came back. They had a chart. Their hike was charted. Otherwise, they might not have found it. Wasn't that simple, wasn't the only trail out there. When you sit for meditation, most people don't have a chart. Mind goes all over, they don't know what to do. But we have a chart, just like a hike. On a hike, it says go 2 miles and you'll see a junction, take the left turn, and then go another this and that, and it gives you a chart, then take the right turn. Well, that's what shooting meditation is, it's a chart. Says, first, feel this, from there you'll be able to feel that, and from there you'll be able to go into the energy in the spine, and from there you'll be able to go there. So it's a chart. It's a series of, it's just like a map of the inner world. We have a chart for our meditation provided by the Shum language. Illumined by a potent guru-shishya system. Well, that's important. In other words, there's something going on in the present. That's what it means. It's not all history. You go to a number of Hindu places and this happened 100 years ago and this happened 150 years ago and here's this picture and here's that and thank you very much. There's nothing potent going on. It's a museum preserving something that happened long ago, but where Deva's approach is, no, it's something potent should be going on in the present. That's the idea. Guided by soul-stirring scriptures. Goswami's quote on that is, the train needs to run on tracks. Meaning, it's easier to make spiritual progress if you follow an established tradition and you don't start all over. That's the trouble with the New Age. The New Age has lots of great ideas, but it's not based on any long-standing tradition. Therefore, many things are just starting from scratch. They're not benefiting. Take science. Science is doing as well as it is today because it treasures the past and builds on it. Doesn't start over, doesn't throw things out and say, well, they have it all wrong. And start the field of science over again every generation. They accept, but everything's a theory. It's the best understanding that we have of something. And we may throw that theory out, but it's the best one we have. And if we use it, computers work. We're able to base our engineering upon our scientific theory. That's an example of building on tradition. Awakened by sadhana and tapas. Well, the whole thing is useless unless you practice. It's just there as a structure. But it doesn't do you any good just to read about it without the practice. Thus has it given mankind the mechanics for moving forward in evolution. So again, when Gurudeva uses the word evolution, he's talking about the evolution of the soul or spiritual unfoldment. He's not talking about biological evolution, spiritual evolution, the maturing of the soul. The soul body matures. It matures in couple of ways. One is it gets more distinct, it gets more well defined, it gets more, and the more distinct, the more well refined it is, the more self control it has. The less well refined it is, the more emotional, the less self control it has. But the more well defined, the more control, and then it also just matures. It gets older and wiser. So thank you very much. One verse. A lot in it. Wonderful day.